Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Welcome to another sparkling edition of The Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and him, Kevin O'Sullivan. Kevin, a very warm welcome. It's a quite a warm room, actually. The studio's quite hot today.
Well, which I like, you know, because I'm
cold. You like it hot, do you?
Yeah, I prefer it hot.
I prefer the studios to be cold. It's fucking cold this morning, though, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, it is. But let me, I know we like to start off with a few laughs, but I want to start off this podcast in a quite a serious way.
All right.
It's a shout-out to a massive Thought Police fan. This is from his son, Seth Wharton. And Seth asked us to pay tribute to his late dad, Simon Wharton,
okay.
A huge Thought Police fan who sadly died on November the 5th. All the best, Seth. But I've got to tell you, your dad, Simon, was a right fucking cunt.
What?
He's a complete cunt.
You can't say that.
He was always a fucking cunt. Look, I'm fucking glad. He's an absolute cunt.
You can't say you're glad he's dead.
Well, I mean, a cunt. Who wants a cunt to be alive?
Listen, you've said some pretty awful things on this show, but that...
Yeah, I say fuck him. Fuck Simon Wharton.
He's lost his dad.
Nah, fuck him.
I hope he fucking asked you to do that.
Yeah, he did ask me to do it. Hell. That's why. So I hope Jesus. That's all right, Seth. The reason we did that is because Seth asked
all
us
right.
to,
okay.
and his dad would have loved it, he said.
Yeah.
So I said, all right, Seth, we'll do it, but we're going to have to explain that you asked us to do it.
Yeah, you don't be worried about it, but I thought you'd gone over the side.
No, but in all seriousness, very sorry for your loss, Seth, and we're very sorry that Simon is unable to listen to us anymore.
Yeah, because that'll mean we've got one less listener.
It's purely,
I hope he's going to
purely selfish.
I hope he introduces somebody else to the show.
No, all the best, Seth.
No,
seriously.
Listen, Seth, thank you very much. I know Seth came to the horseshoe. I'm pretty sure he came to the Half Moon at Putney as well. So really sorry to hear about that. But listen, we got a lot to talk about because Peppa Pig World. What a load of fucking bollocks that was. He is not, by any stretch of the fucking imagination, properly forgetting where he is. No fucking chance. No fucking way. I don't believe it.
Well, I know you said that on your show this morning, and, you know, it's a perfectly valid viewpoint, and it's interesting. And I'm not certainly going to have an argument with you about it, except for...
People enjoyed our argument last week.
Well, the point is... All right, you fucking cunt. Trash. That's fucking wrong.
Fuck you.
No, you stupid cunt. Of course he didn't do it on purpose. No, the point is... I wouldn't put it past him, but
no,
I don't think any.
Thing he would do.
I don't think any politician wants to make himself look like some fucking subnormal.
I don't
bumbling.
Think he cares.
Yeah, but he looked like a fucking twat.
Yeah, but we've all been with people that we've known, and I can name them if you wish. People who don't give a fuck about what people are saying about them, as long as they're talking about them, and there are a lot of people like that, particularly in the public eye and particularly in the political world. Boris Johnson is the Prime Minister, right? There's a couple of theories currently doing the rounds. One is that he's had enough. He fucking hates it.
He can't, oh, yeah, I don't he think he likes
do,
the job.
He can't do what he wants to do. He can't go shagging, right? He can't get his fucking leg over anybody else apart from Carrie. Every time he fucks her, she gets pregnant, right? She's fucking got more kids coming for him in another 10 years.
She's he's a fucking
be,
production line,
yeah, he's going to be fucking tied down to her for another 10, 15 years, right, until they go to university, and by which time he's going to be nearly
then he'll
fucking
fuck off and get someone else.
Well, he'll be 80
as
by
is
then.
His wont.
Well, he'll be,
well his fucking to, dad's still at it.
Well, he'll have to do, well, allegedly, right? What about all these, you know, he's been touching me inappropriately, really. What, when? 2003. Right, okay. Then.
Stanley Johnson, Stanley. You must be joking.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. Shocking. Anyway, so he is, I think, a very unhappy man. He looks like he's not very healthy again.
He looks
doesn't
shit,
he? I mean,
doesn't he? Yeah.
He doesn't look very well. He's like under
a,
the cosh.
He does look like a sack of shit
nothing's,
tied up in the middle. Yeah.
Nothing's going very well for him, right? The social care bill got passed, but it's going to have to come back and be fucking changed. He's got nothing going on
social
down on
fucking
the fucking care. Migration front. It's all going to shit.
Hell who cares fucking about social care?
No, well, old people care about it. And
nah,
also people
well,
who...
They'll all be fucking dead.
Yeah, but you
soon.
Might have to, you know, you'll be all right because you've got a house worth a fucking, you know, couple of million quid. But some people have to give their entire house up in order to fucking be looked after and have their arse wiped. It's pretty horrible. You know, it's a pretty ghastly fucking way to go out of the world.
Your I'd rather, house for your arse
you know,
wiped.
Exactly. I mean,
it's not I'd, much of a fucking swap,
I mean,
is
my
it?
Dad used to say, if I ever get like that, just shove me over a cliff. And I'd be the same. I don't want to fucking pay a load of money for somebody to look after me when I don't know what I'm doing. Because yeah. I'll go that way. My dad got fucking Alzheimer's disease. His mother had it. I'm bound to get it, right? Yeah. And I wouldn't actually
I
want to be sitting
the signs are already there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Don't wanker. I mean, you know, I'm not the one fucking arriving late for everything. You know, you're always fucking late for everything.
Well, which I'm only, in demand,
which
you know?
I can only assume is because you keep fucking getting stopped by people in places. But here's the thing. I think he's very unhappy. He wants to get out, but he can't find a way out. You know how they got Hancock out by somehow, you know, informing somebody? Because I still believe that that was a set-up job, that they handed that fucking footage to someone, right?
Oh, and fucking hell, he was right? stitched up.
He was.
No doubt about
so
that.
But he couldn't fire Matt Hancock because Hancock would have said, hang on a minute, I've done all the things you fucking asked me to do. So they somehow engineered him getting the fucking HEVO. He's trying to work out a way of getting out.
Yeah.
Well, but he can't.
But you're right about hand job. Boris Johnson's... Owen Paterson, he never, ever wants to punish anyone. He never... ever wants to make people suffer consequences for their bad actions.
Because I think
habitual bad behaviour himself.
But also I think he's got an absolute horror of offending people, of upsetting people. He wants to be popular. He wants everyone to like him, which is a character flaw in and of itself. You know? Obviously, as you can see, you and I don't suffer very much from that. We don't give a fuck what people think, quite frankly.
Just as fucking well.
In fact, the less people that like me, the better, because I'm quite busy already. I don't want to see any more of you fucking cunts for lunch, for fucking dinner. Fuck off. So, you know, there's only so many fucking days in a week. Yeah, you know. But the thing is, I think he's desperately trying to find a way out, but he doesn't know how to do it.
Look, it's almost on record. There have been all these stories that he hates the fucking job.
Right.
I mean, the point is, Mike...
And it's all gone to shit as
well. Loosely speaking, he's one of us. He's a journalist.
Yeah.
Journalists don't like fucking working from the moment they get up. You don't go into journalism to get up at 6 a.m. and then work all the way to 10 p.m.
You don't also get into journalism to be fucking responsible for anything. I mean, he's the guy that they're all saying, well, what do you want to do then, Prime Minister? And he's going, well, can't somebody else decide?
I mean,
why do I have to be the one?
The thing about doing this radio thing is it's a bit strange for us because you've got to turn up.
Well,
you know,
you've got to
I did
turn
a fucking
up.
Job 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
I never had to turn up.
Well,
rarely did.
Well, this is the thing. When fucking Twitter came out, right, I said to someone, I said, I've spent my entire career trying to fucking disappear, not fucking be followed by anyone.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone to know where I am.
Yeah.
I've never wanted anyone to know where I am.
Exactly. And that's what good journalists always did. They hid. They made sure no one could get hold of them. And they filed a bit of a copy around about 5 o'clock. Then went back to the fucking pub.
Yeah.
Now, Boris Johnson, like you and I, he comes from a kind of career and an ethos where the only thing you think about when you get up in the morning is where you're going for lunch.
Yeah.
Now he's got this stupid fucking job where he's got to go and open libraries and talk about Peppa Pig
get on
and
trains.
Fuck around and go to boring
hospitals.
Debates, you know. I mean, who the fuck? He's a cunt.
Who
for
wants
even,
to address
what
the fucking,
a cunt for
also,
even wanting to
also,
do that in the first
But also,
place?
Who wants to go and address the fucking CBI, one of the most fucking Ramonery organisations you've ever met in your life? And you could hear them sort of tittering and twittering when he was going on about Peppa Pig. What a load of old bollocks. And what I still haven't seen is I haven't seen anyone checking up if he actually did go to Peppa Pig World, wherever the fuck that is.
Well, there's pictures of him. He went the day before with his kid, Dylan. Yeah. Very sweet pictures, actually.
I'm sure he's quite good fun to be around. I'm sure he's not a bad father, depending on which one of his kids you ask, because some of them don't speak to him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just think...
I've hired a hall. We're going to get all his kids together and ask them whether he's
fucking
a good dad.
His fucking world
has been turned
upside down, though. You know, from being a guy who could get on a bike and cycle around and fucking disappear into some bird's house and shag it and then disappear back to his real house and fucking pretend he hasn't been out. All of that shit is gone.
Silly cunt thinks being prime minister is a good job.
Yeah.
It's a pile of shit.
It's exactly right.
Boring meetings, boring committees, boring speeches, boring fucking radio interviews, boring television interviews, all fucking day.
Yep.
Never stops.
And who is it that said, I can't remember, but it's one of those quotes that gets repeated from time to time, that, you know, anyone who seeks high office is obviously unworthy to get the job.
Yeah.
If you fucking want it, you shouldn't immediately disqualify you in the first place.
So I wonder what fate will befall him, because whether or not he did that shit, the Peppa Pig speech deliberately, I suspect, I mean, he does like that shambolic image.
He loves it. Well,
but
listen,
I think he overdid it there.
I know for a fact, right, because of people that I know who worked with him very closely, that the whole, you know, shambling...
Yeah, he puts his hair...
He messes his hair up before he goes out.
But that...
Do you remember, I think it was Jeremy Vine who told the story about how he told the exact same anecdote, because he'd forgotten his speech to about three different fucking after dinner events, right? But he told the same story as if it was all off the cuff, when it's not off the cuff.
Yeah, no. But I do think that his Peppa Pig moment in front of the CBI, he just looked like a fucking Olympic class fuckwit. And I don't think any politician would go out to do that.
Spend a lot of time sitting in front of microphones, same as speaking. Now, we have all occasionally lost the plot and wondered what the fuck we're going to do next, or the fucking call dropped.
Fuck you.
That was a beautifully timed piece of fucking comedy, which only a very few number of people actually got. I was hoping you might be one of them, but obviously you're just with the other thick cunts who don't think it's very funny. But the point is, right, that, you know, you don't always know what you're going to do next, you know, so you ramble on, and sometimes it doesn't make any sense. And I've certainly done that.
Yeah, no, we all.
And so, but what you don't do is, you don't just keep going, forgive me, and just pretend. He was looking like he was pretending to look at pages, because he clearly wasn't really looking at them, was he?
Well, I think he does write his speech literally
also,
as he goes into the
hall.
And
also, very few people walk around with pages like that.
Well, yeah,
most places you go now, they have a fucking screen.
Yeah, but he hasn't written the speech till he gets there.
I don't believe all
this is what I'm saying. He is chaotic, I think.
Well, yeah, but he's not as chaotic as he makes out, because it's a bit like some of the best acting in the world of people who act drunk. The less drunk you try to look, the more convincing it is, because really drunk people don't actually really look that drunk, right? So for him to play someone who's chaotic is actually quite a clever thing to do.
Yeah, except he looked, as I say, he looked like a fuckwit. And and I'm not forgiving that cunt anything anyway. I mean, his problem for me is he's not a Conservative, he's not a Tory.
He's fucking taxing us.
All this bullshit with this climate change fucking claptrap.
And they're going to tax
Stick
us even more.
Stick it up your fucking arse, Johnson.
They're
going to
tax us even fucking more, right?
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable.
I know, fuck you and your fucking green floating fucking windmills. Stick them up your arse. Fucking arsehole. Does he really think we care? Does he really think I've got... what I wake up in the morning and go, oh, the climate,
because
the
all these people who have access to the media, right? All these fucking people who say, but it is the climate emergency. It's the most important thing. And all these wankers who are now saying things like, this will be a bigger problem for the world than coronavirus. Bollocks, will it?
These cunts like Johnson, they ought to spend some time in
the
real
kind
of pubs that sometimes you and I go to, the local pubs around here. And you go there on a Friday night, Thursday night, you know, you think people are huddled around the bar over their pints going, I'm really worried about climate change.
Yeah.
They're not even fucking thinking about it. They're not bothered about it.
Last week, I was in the Horseshoe and somehow ended up being in there for quite a long time. drinking mulled wine, right? So I was there for the first time in the evening for a while, and it was fucking rammed with people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nobody's wearing a mask. They're all having a good time. They're all having fun. Not one person did I hear talking about the fucking climate or fucking coronavirus. Because they've had enough of both of them.
The skillful politician would understand this. You need to, if you want to relate to the man and the woman on the street, think of the here and now.
Yes.
Don't start saying, great news, Dolly and Jim. We've got a fucking deal for 2070.
Yeah.
They go, well, I'll be fucking dead.
Yeah. And what about this, right? Fucking announcement about new build houses this week. Oh, they must all contain an electric charge point.
Fuck off.
Bollocks, will they?
And the electric cars are too expensive.
Nobody can afford
people.
Them.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I'll tell you what was great this week. I don't know if you read Jeremy Clarkson's... I don't normally read them. I read his column.
I like
Clarkson a lot, but I haven't read his actual motoring column for a while.
I don't
and
read
he was,
that
and I happened
I'm
to,
not interested in cars.
Well, I'm not particularly, but I found myself, you know, I guess it's in the magazine somewhere.
Yeah.
And I was reading it online, you know.
He's a good writer, though, Clarkson.
He's good, because he
whatever
also...
he writes
do you know what
good.
Great writers do? And I like to think... I think you do it as well, actually, without blowing smoke out your ass. You write like you talk. Like Richard Littlejohn. Yeah. When I read Littlejohn's column, I hear his voice.
Yeah.
When you read Clarkson, you hear his voice.
Yeah,
Rod
yeah.
Liddell, the same, right?
Yeah.
And anyway, he was writing about this Lamborghini, ridiculously over the top fucking supercar that he was driving. He said everybody knows that basically Lamborghinis are shit.
Yeah.
But he said they're great fun because they're for people like Rod Stewart and me and wankers who want to show off, basically. But if you really want a decent sort of sports car, you get a Ferrari. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's 260,000 quid, this. And he was talking about how nobody races anymore.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about pulling up to the lights and some wanker in a Tesla pulls up next to him, right? And he goes, I could tell what was going to happen. And the guy, sure enough, starts pointing at the fucking traffic lights and, you know, pointing forward as if he wants to race him. And he said, do you know what? Tesla's, because they've got that ridiculous kind of acceleration.
Yeah.
He'd probably beat a Lamborghini.
Really?
And he went, you know what? They've got this thing which they call something like crazy mode or something like that on the Tesla. And he started calling it small dick mode, because he's like, if you really want to fucking drive fast, because that's what, you know, gets you going, you're a wanker. And so he said, I didn't even fucking bother. He said, I let the guy fucking shoot off. Didn't care. Because that's what all these fucking virtue-signalling cunts think is good. Getting an electric car and driving off at high speed in it.
You know
Why?
That cunt Elon Musk who owns Teslas? Right?
Yeah.
So the way I see it is, when they were designing the Tesla, you know, he puts all the sharp...
They're ugly-looking cars.
He put the sharp guys in charge of the front.
Yeah.
Front's quite nice looking.
Yeah, right.
I do think it's quite nice looking. And then said, "Well, what should we do? Who will we get to design the
rear
end of the car? We'll get all those blind cunts to do that." I mean, the fucking thing at the back—it's fucking hideous. So you've got this car that's quite nice looking at the front, and then it falls off a cliff at the back.
But they've got an opportunity, because I was looking at maybe they've got this 4x4. But it's not a proper 4x4. It doesn't feel like it. Doesn't
great
look like
big
it.
Thing as well.
It's got bloody
it?
Doors that open like gull wing doors.
Yeah,
but it's
yeah.
square.
Is it? Yeah.
It's fucking horrible, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't. It's not a patch
clunking
on,
thing. Is
yeah.
It?
It's yeah. not a patch on a fucking, you know, proper like a Range Rover or Land Rover or something like that. And it just looks like
I
shit.
I couldn't drive an electric car because you might as well walk around with a sandwich board on saying, I'm a smug cunt.
I'm a cunt. Yeah, exactly right.
I'm a
right.
smug wanker.
I'm
you know.
Look
at me. I got an electric car.
Have you seen that there's some moves afoot that we might have some merchandise soon, because our man Pooch, who we slagged off last week, he was very happy to be slagged off, by the way, he said. He was thanked us for it. said he fucking deserved it for fucking
what
it all up.
Cunt
anyway, he's going to make some mugs and some T-shirts, right, with cunt written on them.
Just that.
Well, probably.
Cunt.
Well, do you know what you could do? I've suggested to him, you could do one where, because people will find it offensive, but you basically get just a white T-shirt and have it written really small on the sort of just at the top left-hand corner. Because I used to have, you remember in the old days of the 80s, you used to have badges. And I used to have a red badge I used to wear on my lapel of my Oxfam fucking jacket.
Yeah.
And it just said, piss off. And people would like, get on the tube and I'd be going like that. And it would just say, piss off. I think another one, shirt with cunt on it, but really small, would be funny.
When we were kids, there used to be this woman called Claire Rayner on Capital.
Jay Rayner's mother.
Yeah, Claire Rayner on Capital Radio.
He's blocked me as well, the
and
cunt.
She... all the people
it's great.
Who's bought me an all a cunt? Anyway, everyone you ever mentioned, yeah, he's blocked
yeah,
me.
He's fucking blocked
Anyway, so she used to have this sort of show on a Sunday night.
She was like the Agony Aunt.
Yeah,
she?
Agony Aunt.
Nice listen to
and people used to... So,
sex problems.
Me and my mates, we used to sort of try it when we were about like 13.
Yeah, yeah.
We used to try and like ring her up and get through the procedure. So my mate... Yeah.
I've got Mick, something wrong with my foreskin.
My mate Mick Porter, he gets... on the phone. He phones Classic Capital Radio, and he gets put through. So in those days, they didn't really have a sort of delay.
Right.
So they would monitor the beginning of the conversation to make sure you seem genuine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at that point, they drop their guard. So he goes, "Hello, Claire." And she goes, "Hello, Mike." "Hi, Mike. Hello, Mike." He goes, "I'm just a bit upset." What's the matter? What's the matter?" She goes, "Well, you know, I'll be honest with you, you know, I'm 13 and I've got quite bad acne." "Love, don't worry about it. You'll grow out of it. It's just a phase." Everybody goes, "Well, I know, but it's quite bad." "Don't worry about it. It's just a thing that happens." "Well, it's just my friend's reaction." He said, "Well, what you..." No, don't listen to your friends. "It's just, but they keep calling me a cunt and a wanker."
That's great.
And she goes, "Oh, that's right. That's funny, isn't it?"
Yes.
She used to slam the phone in fury. "Oh, you think you're so clever."
That was, I guess, in those days, they didn't have delays. The BBC still don't have delays.
Do
so
they
you
not?
Say whatever you fucking like at the BBC. Do you remember? I mean, if it ever happened to us, I mean, I can't imagine I'd have been kicked out of the building faster than you could say fucking Chris Moyles. But Chris Moyles, when he used to do the Radio 1 breakfast show, he had some fucking woman on. They were doing some phone-in competition or something like that. And the woman was on just regular fucking telephone call. But in the background, you could hear sort of all sorts of clattering going on. And suddenly there was this kid fucking yelling. And another kid started yelling. And Chris Moyles actually said, "Can you shut that fucking kid up?" Right on the fucking radio. Right? And, he got a sort of mild letter of rebuke from Ofcom. He shouldn't really have said that in the breakfast show. But, I mean, if you listen to Woman's Hour... You can hear the fucking cunt word. You can say fuck.
I stitched that cunt Chris Moyles up once.
Did you?
When he was a breakfast DJ on Radio 1.
Oh, yeah.
Because
he's at Radio X now, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I was running the showbiz department at The Mirror.
Yeah.
So we used to have the 3 a.m. girls.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they'd written something sort of not very complimentary about him. They often did. And so he goes on the radio. I mean, these are different times. So I suppose this would have been, in the noughties. Mid-noughties or something. And he said, "Those 3 a.m. girls slagging me off." He said, "I don't know what they're so proud of." I mean, I think they called him a fat prick, not prick.
Well, he used to be a lot better than
fat
he is now.
Fat fuck. And he said, "I don't know why they're having a go at the way I look. Well, they look like Burns victims." So I said, right. So I wrote about four paragraphs to go in the next day in the 3 a.m. Right. Saying, "Chris Moyles says that we the 3 a.m. girls look like Burns victims. We find that kind of offensive, but what do you think? Give him a call. Here's his phone number." So he just put his phone number in the
brilliant.
Paper.
Yeah.
He had to change the number.
Oh, brilliant. That's hilarious. But, of course, that would now be a crime, probably.
Oh, yeah.
If you'd done something like
that. But it was those kind of times. And I knew Moyles. I bumped it. He used to live literally in the same road as me. Belsize Park, and I bumped into him in the
in the same road as you and Chris Martin?
It was start. And Paul Gambaccini lived there.
Okay.
And Nina Miskoff, you name it, they lived down there. And anyway,
quite a wide area that from Chris Martin down to Nina Miskoff.
In descending order. And then me.
Yeah, then you.
At the bottom of the
fucking.
You could
get away with it though, because in those days you weren't a celebrity. You are now, of course.
Oh, of course. No, but anyway, I bumped into Moyles in the pub afterwards, and he was just pissing himself. "You cago, you cunt."
Yeah. I said, "Well, listen, it's good when you also, in those days, when you could be actually all out there, balls and all, but you could actually have some fun with it."
Were the rougher times, but much more fun.
People just went, "Fucking hell, man, that's the way it goes." And if I'm in the Daily Mirror fucking showbiz column, then that's good.
Yeah.
Because people are listening to the fucking
and
show.
And if I fuck with them, they'll fuck with me. And he accepted it as part of the game.
I mean, it's like Piers used to have those feuds with Hislop. Do you remember the time when Hislop came to sign his book in the fucking Waterstones at Canary Wharf? And Piers made, I think it was Peter Willis actually, made him make old big placards to go and stand down outside the shop, Hislop out. And they started chanting fucking Hislop out. So much so that he fucked off.
I tell you, that fucking Hislop, right? I saw him, I was watching that...
he don't like it up him, does
he? That documentary, The Princes and the Press.
I thought you were going to say you were watching the Have I Got News For You.
Nobody watches Have I Got News For You.
Well, I was on it. They watched it when I was fucking on it.
Sorry, apart from when you were on it.
When I was on it, they all watched
but
it.
But anyway, he's a fucking weird guy, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
I mean, there's something like wrong with him, He thinks he's funny.
Well, he thinks he's very funny.
But he's about as funny as cancer.
I'll tell you what, that whole thing with the concrete and Have I Got News For You, none of them actually said anything funny.
I know.
Not one of them. And actually, the kind of...
He made a fool of himself.
The sad thing about it was that they were asking Dawn fucking Butler for her opinion of it, and you think, well, maybe she's not the sort of person you should actually have on a fucking comedy show, because one, she's not funny, two, she's a fucking politician, and three, she seems to spend most of her time fucking causing trouble.
Yeah, I know, going on about race issues.
Going on about being stopped by the cops.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Anyway, listen, I've got another announcement here. Oh, this is from Arthur. He sent this in a little while ago, actually. But it says, big ask for your next show. Could you call out my French work colleague, James Baline? That's B-A-L-E-I-N-E. Is that Baline?
Baline.
For being the most obnoxious, opinionated, unmitigated cunt. He'd really appreciate it and so richly deserves it. A worthy candidate.
What do you call him? James Bellend.
James Bellend, yeah.
James Bellend.
Fucking prick.
Belaine, it's pronounced Bellend.
Yeah, Bellend. James Bellend.
What a cunt he is.
Jimmy.
Absolute
or something
cunt.
Like that.
Absolute cunt.
Absolute twat. Now, we've also got a new sponsor to talk about today as well. But before we do that, let's talk about not only Boris Johnson, who isn't really doing a very good job, and because who would fucking want it? But imagine a worse job than that is fucking the one that Joe Biden's got in America. What? You know, what are you saying?
I'm serious.
I'm the president. I mean, imagine being president of the United States and not being able to fucking remember what your name is.
Yeah.
And absolute cunt.
He probably goes around, whose idea was it to give the vice presidency to that cunt Kamala Harris?
Well, this is the thing, right? We were talking about this. Nobody ever remembers. I can't even remember who... Oh, what was his name? The guy that looked like a Thunderbird's puppet, wasn't
he? You mean Dan Quayle?
No, I was going to say who was Donald Trump's vice president. Mike Pence, wasn't it?
Spiro Agnew?
No, Trump's. I'm saying who was Trump's?
Oh, Trump. Oh, that was Mike Pence.
Mike Pence, yeah.
But I thought you were talking about Reagan.
Well, what I was going to say is nobody really remembers who the vice presidents are, do they?
No, they don't. And I'm going to tell you who JFK's... vice president.
That was Spiro Agnew, wasn't
it? Yeah, before Lyndon Johnson, I think it was somebody called Garner.
Oh, yeah.
The thing about the vice presidency as a job, he says it's not worth a bucket of warm piss.
Well, that's true. Absolutely right. Well, we'll talk some more about that, but let me tell you about this thing that we're now talking about. It's called Curve, right? Curve is a new app which you can get, and what it does is basically it links your business and your personal credit cards to one central app. So what it means is if you've got, I don't know, a club card or something like that that you use at the local supermarket, if you get rewards for that, if you get Curve, you've also got double the rewards coming in, because whatever you spend, you get rewards on the actual app itself, right? So it's one of those things.
Sounds good.
It's called a smart wallet. So it combines your existing debit, credit and loyalty cards into one app and one MasterCard. It's the rewarding way to pay for a free no-brainer upgrade to your wallet, basically, right? So you can also get great FX rates, no transaction fees abroad, up to £500 a month, free weekday foreign ATM withdrawal, so you can use it like a bank card, and purchase protection up to £100,000 on disputes, right? And it also means that you can get access to lounges in airports and all kinds of stuff, right? And all you've got to do is sign up. And Curve is giving every new user 1% cash back across every single one of their purchases for an entire month, no matter how large or small. So if you spend £3 on a cup of coffee, it gives you 3p. If you spend £300 on a plane ticket, that gives you £3. But you've got to open an account and you've got to spend in order to get that, right?
Yeah.
But it's pretty good,
but
isn't
it? Simplifies.
And it also gives you rewards where you can get 20% off booking cars from Hertz.
That's great.
You can get all sorts of things that you can...
What's it called again?
It's called Curve.
Curve.
C-U-R-V-E, right? And so all you got to do is go to the App Store and see if you can find it there.
Curve, it's, C-U-R-V-E.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds great.
So, I mean, I would suggest to anyone who's interested that they go and find it. And we'll put it... I'll tell you what we'll do, because it's a bit complicated, this one. We'll put it on the Twitter page so that you can go there.
Yeah, we'll give you a check link. It all out. Yeah,
we'll give you a link check so that out, yeah. It's only been going for about 5 or 6 years. This thing, but basically, the campaign that they're running now is to show that all of your finances can be pulled into one place because it can be quite complicated.
Yeah,
you know, because
no,
I mean, I've used
fucking right. It can.
I mean, I use Apple Pay for quite a lot of things, but you have to load that up individually. With this, you just have to link
it. It's all there. Yeah, that's brilliant.
And it's
brilliant,
all there, so it's quite a good thing. But anyway, so let's go back to the vice presidential scenario, because basically, if you think back to all the people who were vice presidents, most of them had pretty shitty fucking jobs.
Would you remember Dan Quayle with George Bush Senior?
I remember
where Dan Quayle was thick as a shit, couldn't spell potato.
Couldn't spell potato.
Thought that in South America, because it's called Latin American, they spoke Latin, and they used to say then, what's the most frightening thing you can hear that is possible to hear? They say George Bush saying, "I don't feel so good."
Well, do you remember they used to fucking have Doonesbury, the cartoon, which was quite popular for a while. I think when you were in America. Yeah. As well, when Dan Quayle was in the White House, they used to just they didn't used to draw him, they used to have a speck of dust, and that was him, because he was so fucking insignificant.
He's good looking,
so stupid.
He was good looking,
but he was short though,
dim ass though.
He was sort of one of those, he looked like one of those high school jocks, didn't he? One of those high school,
players. No, he looked like an all American boy, but he was as thick as a
but
fucking...
he was. And what about the other one was great when old Al Haig got into power when Ronald Reagan got shot. And Al Haig basically marched into the White House and went, "I'm in charge."
But he wasn't, because he was defence secretary, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he basically thought he'd take over.
Al, actually, you're not.
Yeah.
You're not.
And the same with old Nixon.
Who was it? Was it Reagan? Was Spiro Agnew, was it?
No, Reagan was...
Who was his dep? His vice.
I'm trying to remember now. This is the trouble. You forget who they were.
Well, it is the most forgettable thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll look it up. I'll tell you, by the way...
It was Bush, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
Yeah,
Bush,
you're
Reagan?
Right. You're Bush, right. It was Bush Senior.
So
wasn't
Bush
it?
Senior is about the only one who was vice president, I think, who then became president.
No, lots of them become president.
Really?
I mean, Johnson, of course.
I suppose.
He was voted back
but
in.
But Bush Junior was never vice president.
Clinton was never vice president. Right now.
Clinton was never Biden. Yeah, Clinton was never vice president.
It's quite a thing. It's quite a thing through American history. Quite a few vice presidents. That's why Kamala Harris is staying quite quiet, even though she fucking hates the ground Biden walks
on. Well, apparently there's a big problem going
on. Well, they fucking hate each other.
Well, one, they hate each other, but also half the people in the White House hate each other as well. So the people that are on her team hate the other people.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most recent resignations is from one of the White House press people, who are, I think, working supposedly for her, who can't fucking stand her.
Yeah, well, she's a cunt.
I don't know too much about her. I've barely heard her.
No, she's horrible, horrible.
I've barely heard her.
You should see her in those primaries when she was doing those debates. Mm. She was really nasty. So she doesn't have the likability factor, as they say, on the X Factor.
And she's never really done anything much in politics, has she?
She's never really won anything either. Mm. But the reason she's staying quiet about her hatred for Biden, basically playing the game, even though he gives her shit jobs like, "Could you look after the Mexican border?"
which is a bit
like saying, "Would you mind putting your head in a bucket full of shit?"
Well, or how about you pop down to Dover and see how it's going down
there? Yeah, yeah.
Because it's fucking, I mean, it's like Dover times a million, isn't it?
Yeah,
they're getting something like 12,000 people a day.
No, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Because that silly fucker Biden just lifted the drawbridge down and said, "Everybody come in."
What?
I mean, Trump was right about that border. You've got to fucking keep
Trump was right about a lot of things.
You know, you've got to keep it closed.
I mean, this guy has become the most
unpopular. And it's a humanitarian crisis because he's let so many
people
in.
And it's not just now in fucking Southern California. It's now in Texas where they've got loads of people who fucking hate him.
It's all the way across
the bridges,
that border.
Arizona. It's fucking...
But she's playing the game because if vice presidents keep quiet and do the president's bidding, it is always the deal that they get the nomination to stand when the president steps down. And this president, Biden, will have to step down after one term, because otherwise he faces the prospect of being 86 and still being the president.
But, you know,
ridiculous.
When I was living there, there was a phrase, getting 86 was getting kicked out of the pub. So apparently it had something to do with the number of a bus that you used to get up to the Bronx or something like that. But getting 86 was definitely a thing. Yeah. Now, I've got some good news for you now.
Yeah.
You're going to like this. Because this is in your former life. You used to probably look forward to this day when they would have announced the Christmas television listings.
Right? Yeah.
Do you remember those awful times when you'd have to do the first TV pullout and most of it was to be confirmed? And every fucking year, every fucking editor, no matter who it was, would always say, why haven't we got the fucking listings up? Because they haven't come out yet. We've only got about three. Yeah. The rest of the fucking 24-page pullout is just fucking
No. It was I used to have to fucking edit.
It was
that
a fucking nightmare.
No, it was. We used to call
Remember the guy Ed that used to do it in the Mirror.
Yeah, we used to call it the TBA special.
Yeah,
everything said TBA. To be
and
announced.
All the people that used to do television were fucking weird, weren't they? Like the guys that used to do the listings.
Well, there was the guy Ed. Who just spent his whole time massive great galleys of television times. Mm.
Did I ever tell you about the time I went, when I went to work for the Mail on Sunday and I was put in charge of the sort of production side of Night and Day when they were launching it, right? And Night and Day was going to be the universally renowned magazine because it was going to be do something for the first time that nobody else had ever done. We were going to have glossy paper. We were going to have TV listings in full colour. So all the pictures were going to be colour. Everything was going to be fucking beautiful, brilliant. And so we produced this amazing looking dummy, which was the first sort of, you know, thing we got printed. And it was a big to-do. I had to go up to fucking Northampton to get it hot off the press so I could get it before the editor got it, because I had to bring it back to Christina Appleyard, who was the editor of the magazine. And the printing plant people were like, this is fucking great. But you know, the problem is, though, we can't do it in the numbers that you want. I said, what do you mean? They said, well, the problem with the way you're doing it is you've got full colour, right? So every time we move anything, because it's a change for the region, it's a colour change. And every time you do that, we have to do it 8 times. And then we have to multiply that by 11, which is the number of TV regions. And I'm going, right. I said, so what's the problem? They said, well, if we did it the way you want us to do it, it would take us 4 weeks to print every edition. And I'm like, fuck. So do you know what they did? They decided they couldn't tell Dacre, because he would have gone fucking apeshit. So for the first month, they basically printed full colour editions for London and for the Meridian area, which is apparently where Rothermere's got a place.
Yeah.
Everything else went fucking spot colour, and they didn't do it. And then by that time, they were able to kind of slightly smooth. But I thought to myself, Associated Newspaper is supposed to be the biggest and most well-organised newspaper empire. And they hadn't fucking thought of it.
Well, see, this is... I mean, Amin had to get that fucking... the early December Christmas pullout every year.
Yeah.
It's a massive great con on the readers. So they go... first week of December, they go, Saturday! Christmas special TV pullout, all the TV news you need.
Yeah. And then because more people would buy the paper.
Yeah, well, no, massive amounts more. It would put up circulation by hundreds of thousands, half a million. Yeah. And then the poor bastards would get this fucking pullout, which is just full of TBA, to be announced, to be announced. It didn't give them any information at all.
Now, here's something to look forward to. Guess what? They're going to be 2 festive specials over Christmas, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Fuck that.
Which is shit, right? Yeah. I fucking hate it. Doctor Who returns on New Year's Day.
Woke shit.
With its first of 3 episodes, and that woman's still
fucking
being
Doctor Who.
And here's a new one for you. Call the Midwife will also return for its
Call
9th...
Call the Midwife a cunt. Fuck the fucking
That's
Midwife.
That's brilliant. 9th annual Christmas episode, right? Game show favourites will also hit the screens, including Michael McIntyre's The Wheel, The Hit List, and Would I Lie to You? I mean, could somebody not come up with some new TV fucking
another
ideas?
Another tribute to Jimmy Savile's Jim Will Fix It.
I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. I mean, that's terrible.
Oh, well,
I'm fucking glad I'm not going to be here.
Christmas telly is just a waste of space.
It's absolute
dog shit. I don't even switch it on at
it's
Christmas
just shit,
anymore.
Isn't it?
Every fucking year, fucking Doctor Who, load of old woke bollocks about space alien lesbians. It's so shit. Waste of time.
I know. Absolute dog shit. But anyway, luckily, I hopefully won't be here. So I'll be able to fucking avoid all of it. I'll be very pleased to know. Now, we shouldn't finish up this particular episode without a little chat about football, because
there's been
some great fucking football stories going on. I watched Match of the Day on the weekend. Fucking, how bad are Manchester United?
Yeah. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Harry fucking Maguire.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, is he the thickest man in football?
Yeah.
He's starting to look like it. I know what I'm going to do. First, I'm going to pass the ball to the wrong person. Then I'm going to fucking have a go at chopping somebody down. Then I'm going to pass the ball to the other wrong person and have a go at chopping them
down. Do you remember when Liverpool tore him apart the other week?
Yes.
Well,
Watford fucking did a pretty good job.
Now, Watford tore him apart, but Harry Maguire and Luke Shaw ran into each other and fell over.
That's right.
And fucking Salah went through and scored, useless cunts.
But Maguire's fucking hopeless.
But I had a magic moment on Saturday. I went to the big match everyone was talking about, Fulham Barnsley.
I saw your tweet. You had a great. Where did you get that picture from?
Well, I took it from the telly.
Okay. Because even though it was really blurred,
I could see it was you.
Yeah,
yeah. Because I do that always with matches. Like I said, kind of see myself in the crowd. Like, fucking hell, there I am. Because I knew this kid behind me had this big yellow anorak on. Anyway.
It looks a bit, as people were saying, is that Greta Thunberg?
Yeah.
What's she doing there?
So anyway, before the game, I got myself a bottle of wine, a small bottle of wine.
Yeah.
It's Fulham, you know, no beer for me. Red wine, you know, you're like this, so you know I'm trying not to eat meat. So I got the vegetable patty, and fuck that.
You can't eat vegetable patties.
It was not good. It was not good. I should have got the chicken.
It probably tasted like an old slipper.
Oh, it wasn't good. If you're going to eat that shit,
you should walk around with
some
Tabasco.
There's no reason why a vegetable pie shouldn't be good, but this one wasn't. And I know from experience that the chicken balti pie at Fulham is fucking amazing.
But only fucking Fulham would you get a fucking vegetable. Pasta.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they've also got falafels as well.
I'll get the falafels next time.
Anyway, fucking twat. Anyway, so I'm standing there, you know, outside the stand with a glass of wine and my shit vegetable patty thing. So it's like drinking the wine in a good mood, waiting for the match, confident. And these blokes come about 10 of them come and say, Talk Radio! I go, yeah. Go, I fucking love talk radio.
Oh,
and I was just thinking, this is it. You know, surrounded by talk radio fans, Fulham fans. It was one of those moments. And then we went in, pissed all over Barnsley and beaten 4-1.
Fantastic.
Should have been 8-1.
So who's going to be the new manager of Man United then?
I suspect it'll be Pochettino because...
Where is he at the moment then?
Well, he's at PSV, Paris Saint-Germain.
At PSG,
And he wants to finish his contract at the end of this season. Mm. And Man United seem to be indicating that they're going to have an interim manager, that they're going to piss this season off. Have an interim manager until the end of the season. So I think they're waiting for Pochettino.
Yeah.
But the other talk is Brendan Rodgers. But Brendan Rodgers,
come on. I mean, he's a fucking liability.
He got fucked over this
week.
Yeah, I don't think he's that great.
He was never that great at Liverpool.
His moment has come.
I met somebody once who was quite well in at Liverpool. And they said he was the most conceited individual they'd ever met. And he used to talk about Liverpool as if he'd been associated with it all his fucking life, right? And this person who was telling me this was someone who had been associated with it all their life. And they were like, if he was chocolate, he'd fucking eat himself.
That's how impressed he is with himself. And if, you know, Man United are thinking of him, I'm sure they weren't that impressed when Chelsea pissed all over him 3-0 at the weekend.
Well, this is it.
Leicester.
I mean, he's managed to turn Leicester into a pretty average team, hasn't he?
So I reckon Pochettino, in my view.
Right. Now, we're about to finish because I know things are running slightly late, but we should probably not go without a mention of old Azeem Rafiq, the cricketer.
Oh!
I mean, how did that all go horribly fucking wrong for him?
I'll be honest with you, mate. Journalistically, I could never get excited about the racism at Yorkshire Cricket
Club. And I never touched it.
Nor did I. I never said a word about it. And it's not because I don't abhor racism. Of course I do. But I just thought, I don't know, I just can't get excited about it. And when I saw that the BBC and Sky were devoting round the clock, hours upon hours about it, I thought, I'm right.
And he's suddenly sitting in front of a parliamentary committee. It all seemed
I think it all seemed
a bit too contrived.
Yeah,
to
but
me.
I just thought that the whole thing, you know, I'm not condoning in any way the racism, and he did suffer racism, and for that
he
deserves our sympathy. But I just think that it's confected middle-class media outrage.
Oh, they love it,
and
they?
The average person on the streets goes, yeah, not very nice to call a bloke the P-word.
I mean, it is,
but
know,
it's just the changing room.
I don't think people
were that worked up about
it. This whole thing
it.
About, you know, but is cricket indelibly damaged by racism?
Well, no.
Probably.
The fucking way that they were talking about it on Sky and the BBC, you'd think that the Yorkshire Cricket Club was guilty of the Holocaust or something.
I know.
It was fucking unbelievable.
Well, it turns out there was only one anti-Semite in the room and it was him.
Yeah, well, and in the end, you know,
And then all this stuff about the drinking. There's pictures of him with a big bottle of drink, flailing about, pissing about drinking it. There's fucking stories of him on a plane buying drink for a young girl of 17 years of age trying to shag her.
Yeah.
Sending her dodgy messages. Another one where he supposedly was...
I'm afraid Azeem Rafiq is a racist.
Well, Azeem Rafiq should now get the fuck out of the public light.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Public eye.
He's taken his six-figure payoff.
Take
he's
his
lucky.
Medicine, and he should give that money to some charity. That's what I would do.
He's guilty of anti-Semitism. That's racism.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, no, he does deserve sympathy. He was the victim of racism. But you cannot avoid the conclusion that the apposite phrase here is people in fucking glass houses.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. Anyway... he can fuck off.
Fucking wanker.
You lot, fucking twat.
Hypocrite cunt.
We'll see you next week for another Thought Police. Don't forget, we're doing another show in February up in Newcastle.
Oh, yeah, Newcastle.
In fact, it's not just in Newcastle. It's in a place that's apparently a very, very
I've
big...
I've looked it up. Big Memorial Hall.
Big, massive stronghold for Geordies. So if you're a Newcastle fan, you'll want to be there. Check it out on Twitter. We'll see you next week. Don't do anything fucking stupid.
Yeah, fuck you all.
Bollocks.
Well, I know you said that on your show this morning, and, you know, it's a perfectly valid viewpoint, and it's interesting. And I'm not certainly going to have an argument with you about it, except for...
People enjoyed our argument last week.
Well, the point is... All right, you cunt, that's fucking wrong.
Fuck you.
No, you stupid cunt. Of course he didn't do it on purpose. No, the point is... I wouldn't put it past him, but
no,
I don't think
it's the
any.
Kind of thing he would do.
I don't think any politician wants to make themselves look like some fucking subnormal.
I don't think
bundling.
He cares.
Yeah, but he looked like a fucking twat.
Yeah, but we've all been with people that we've known, and I can name them if you wish. People who don't give a fuck about what people are saying about them, as long as they're talking about them, and there are a lot of people like that.
In those days, they didn't really have a sort of delay,
right.
So they would monitor the beginning of the conversation to make sure you seem genuine.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then at that point, they drop their guard. So he goes, "Hello, Claire," and she goes, "Hello, Mike. Hi, Mike. Hello, Mike." He goes, "I'm just a bit upset. What's the matter? What's the matter?" She goes, "Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm 13 and I've got quite bad acne." Love, don't worry about it. You'll grow out of it. It's just a phase. Everybody goes, "Oh, no, but it's quite bad." "Don't worry about it. It's just the thing that happens." "Well, it's just my friend's reaction." "Well, what you... No, don't listen to your friends. It's just, but they keep calling me a cunt and a wanker."
And here's a new one for you. Call the Midwife. We'll also return for its
Call the
knife.
Midwife a cunt. Fuck the fucking
That's
midwife.
Brilliant.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.